Open lines next hour on Coast to Coast AM, but when we come back in a moment with Gypsy Elaine Teague, as we talk about witchcraft, we'll take your calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Gypsy Elaine Teague with us, The Witch's Guide to Wands. Where do you get the book, Gypsy?
You can get it on Amazon. You can get it at Barnes & Noble. You can get it online. You can get it at any bookstore. Books a Million actually has it by now. I saw it the other day. You can get it at any pagan supply store or occult supply store. And probably by the end of the month, Walmart will even have it. I wouldn't put it past them.
How did you start? Was this something that you picked up because of your family, or how did you get into this?
Witchcraft or wood?
Witchcraft.
Okay. they're kind of similar, but they're kind of not.
Yeah.
I'm a recovering Catholic.
Okay.
Being from New England, I think we're all recovering Catholics, except those that are not recovering that are still Catholics. But my grandfather was very earth-oriented. In one of my books a long time ago, I said my grandfather was a Taoist, even though he was a Baptist. He probably would have cringed if he understood what a Taoist was. But he was very earth-centered. He was very he was a Yankee. I was born and raised in New Hampshire.
Sure.
We did all the Yankee things that if you didn't grow it, dig it, shoot it, or fish it, you didn't eat it. But he was very of the earth. So you could say he was a witch. And I got an appreciation of the land from him that just kept growing and growing until I started studying the Norse tradition, because I'm Norse. And then years later, my spouse is a Georgian elder, and I started with the Georgians because it fit what I wanted to do. There's nothing wrong with any of the other traditions, but the Georgian path just happened to fit. And I've just always been of the woods and of the earth. And as I said earlier, I have a master's in landscape architecture, which drove me to even more woody products and earth things.
Do you use candles at all in any of your witchcraft?
We use quarter candles, and we use a god and goddess candle on the main altar. But I don't do a lot of candle magic.
Okay.
I have emphysema, so I can no longer do a lot of incense work or oils. So we don't burn a whole lot at the house. And a lot of large rituals, they do so much smudging and so much with smoke that I've had to really stop going to a lot of them because I just can't breathe.
What about spells in general? Do you cast a lot?
No, I just talk to my gods a lot. I have two or three altars at the house, depending on what I need. I've got a general protection altar, and then I've got my ancestor altar. I don't practice as much traditional ritual magic as I wish I did. I'm getting ready to retire, so I have my day job at Clemson, and then I have my hobby that's eventually going to become my after retirement job. So I'm in the shop, and between the Witch's Guide to Wands, with people wanting me to come and give wand seminars and turning wands, I don't have a whole lot of time to do much else.
No, you don't. Now, do you use a lathe a lot when you do the wand?
I use a lathe as much as I can because I usually do about 400 wands in the summer.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I deal with 100 different species of wood. So I've got, when I show up at a seminar, I call it my 60-second seminar. I do 90 wands in 90 minutes. So I talk about 90 different wands, starting with alder and ending with Zelkova.
Now, do you paint them, or you just keep them natural?
No, I don't do anything to them. I specifically do not put any energy in them. I don't put anything on them. The only wand that I will coat with anything is Wenge, because Wenge is a lot like black palm, and no matter how much you sand it, it still gets fibrous, and you get little slivers. So I leave the tip and the base untouched so that the energy can move through it. But I put beeswax on the actual shaft of the wand to keep it so it doesn't stick people. But that's the only one I do anything to.
I see. Okay.
And I know where the beeswax comes from an apiary about 60 miles from here.
Super. First time caller, Robbie, you're with us, Frankfort, Kentucky. Welcome to the program, Robbie.
Thank you, George, and sure, I appreciate the platform you present for all of us.
Many times.
People think that we would be strange talking about these things, but my question for Gypsy is, throughout my life, my great-great-grandmother has been said to be a witch, and my question is, do you think witchery or witchcraft is hereditary? Because me and my mother both have, like, premonition dreams. Like, actually, I've dreamed of spirits or, like, a child outside my window. And my uncle died the next day. My mother went to the funeral, saw the child standing over the casket, and she turned to tell my dad, and the child wasn't there. Does that relate any at all to witchcraft?
Oh, yes. And the craft is quite hereditary. I think everybody has the capability of practicing magic. The very young and the very old are the best at it, because the very young haven't been beaten down yet by their elders being told that seeing things and experiencing things don't exist. And the very old are old enough to realize that a lot of the crap that they were told in their middle years was just that, crap. But I think if you've got magic in your family, then you should enjoy it and don't be afraid of it and revel in it and accept it. Kentucky has a lot of very good practitioners. And how close are you to, let's see, Kentucky? You're about 4 or 5 hours from Nashville.
Yes.
Yeah. There's a very good pagan gathering in the spring in right outside of Nashville. If you're not aware of it, it's called Pagan Unity Festival.
Never heard of that. That's cool.
So if you're looking, we refer to it as PUFF, but it's Pagan Unity Festival. It may be .com, it may be .org, but if you just go to Google and you put in Pagan Unity Festival, you should get the website. And you can find like-minded individuals that can talk to you knowledgeably about what you experience and not feel like it's something that you shouldn't accept.
Gypsy, does this gift, does this power of witchcraft come primarily from the maternal side or the paternal side?
God, that depends on who you ask. Even if it comes from the paternal, doesn't it also possibly come from the paternal's maternal?
It could be.
Most of the wise, well, it was the term Wicca, some people claim, comes from wise woman, the Middle English word for wise woman. The midwives and the herbalists and everything were women because they were closer to Gaia and the earth. But men also, and some of the best magical users I know and some of the best practitioners I know are also male. I don't think it's necessarily sexed. I think that each sex looks at practicing magic different, just like each sex looks at everything else different too. if you need a truck, you're going to buy a truck. If you've got four kids and a dog, you're going to buy a minivan. So that's magic's very similar to that. If you need magic for a certain thing, you're gonna go toward that tradition, or if you have that leaning. So it can be both male or female. I don't know if there's a genome for it, if there's an actual gene for it. I think that anybody who has a heartbeat and acetylcholine moving through their body can actually work magic, because magic is just applied mathematics with a little bit of electricity.
Will a witch gypsy work with an individual who wants to do harm to another person? You know, maybe a woman is jealous because some other woman has her guy or something like that, or vice versa, guy's jealous. Will a witch work with that person to create that negative spell?
Some will, some won't. Some will prostitute themselves for money.
Yeah.
Some won't. Not all traditions believe in the do as ye will and harm none. Some traditions will work both sides of the fence. Some of the Caribbean traditions, some of the African traditions, some of the European traditions. We don't have the word voodoo doll in the lexicon for no reason. Some traditions will do negative. Some traditions teach how to put up better walls to keep the negative from coming back. My tradition will not, and most of the Wiccan traditions will not, and we teach that we will not. But that doesn't mean that an individual, if they're hurt or damaged or threatened enough, will not find a way to cause that damage to be reversed back on the individual. And you don't have to go back. You don't have to sit in a dark room and send all sorts of noxious arrows and everything to someone that you hate. You can actually just do a spell that allows that negativity to be back on the individual. If someone is doing you harm or has done you harm, you can put out to the universe, I allow this harm that has been sent to me to be returned threefold to the individual. And therefore, the person gets their own karmic return. Now, does it always work? I don't know. Has it worked? I'm sure it has in the past. I'm sure it will again. Have I done it? I think we've all allowed people to harm themselves. You know, they say stupid is as stupid does.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just allow somebody to be receptive of their own bad karma.
Let's go to Carrie Ann now, Prescott, Arizona. Good morning, Carrie Ann. Go ahead.
Hi, Mr. George. Hi, Miss Gypsy.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. I was just wondering, what are your thoughts on crystal wands, such as quartz or hematite?
I love crystals. I love stone magic, but I don't know anything about it. As far as I'm concerned, the definitive work is still Scott Cunningham's Crystal Gem and Metal Magic. Cunningham has probably written, and there are books. There's a number of the Gem Bible is out also. That's very good. But I'm old. George and I are about the same age from some of the things he said earlier. And so when I started, we had the big three, and they were all by Cunningham: Crystal Gem and Metal Magic, Incense Oils and Brews, and Encyclopedia of Magical Herbs. And I still defer to Crystal Gem and Metal Magic when it comes to gems. I don't attach stones to my wands. Because I let the woods do all the energies, but I do know people that have put crystals on their wands. I know people that embed crystals in their wands very successfully.
Huh.
And I know a couple of wand makers out on the West Coast that I see every year at Pantheacon who do some amazing work binding metals and woods and crystals together, and they get some incredible energy. I just don't have that background.
Gypsy, when you earlier said that metal and wood wands react differently with energy, why is that?
Well, let's look at metal. Gold, silver, and platinum, the royals, conduct electricity better than pewter, tin, and lead. So if you're looking at electricity as energy, and we'll use that as a metaphor, you want something that moves energy better. Now, I know someone who uses a steel pipe as a wand. I'm sitting here going, I don't get it, but she works energy very well with a small steel pipe. In steampunk magic, we work with copper and brass wands. And in steampunk magic, we also, at times, will use kyanite. It's a gem. It's a crystal in some of our wands. So we do use, in steampunk magic, some of our workers do use crystals. But every wood vibrates at a different frequency. Every metal vibrates at a different frequency. And those frequencies will move energy differently. There's called a Janka scale, and it's how hard the wood is for the flooring industry. And through a number of things and algorithms, it'll tell you how hard the wood is. And if anybody's ever picked up a piece of soft pine, yellow pine, and then picked up a piece of South Carolina red oak, you're going to feel that the weight is different, and they're harder, and they're different. So pine is going to move an energy different than red oak or ipé or sapele or a thousand other woods out there. And each, as the wood moves the energy and the predilection of the woods, that's where you get your utility of the wand.
Do the wands ever work like a divining rod?
Well, if you want to divine something or douse, a lot of people use copper. A lot of people will douse energy with copper.
Right.
My grandfather, my dad, and me, we've all been able to, at one time in our lives, douse water with a green tree branch. I think that was one of the first things I realized that wood attracted to things. When I first watched my grandfather, I must have been about 4 or 5. I thought it was the neatest thing in the world. We were out on a piece of property, and my grandfather was putting a small house up for hunting.
Yeah.
And he grabbed a switch, and he doused for water, and he said, you know, drive a point here, and about 30 minutes later, we had a well.
Yeah, he was right. Spot on. We're going to come back in a moment here on Coast to Coast AM and take some final phone calls with Gypsy Elaine Teague, the Witch's Guide to Wands. Well, welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Our final segment with Gypsy Elaine Teague. We've been talking about her book, The Witch's Guide to Wands, and we're going to take your final calls as well. In terms of witchcraft, you had mentioned a couple little gatherings, but is there one huge one, Gypsy, where all the witches get together annually?
There are a number of them. The main one that comes to mind is Pantheacon, which is out on your side of the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's San Jose, Valentine's weekend.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many thousands of people show up. I was fortunate enough last year to give a panel, and I had 60 people in my panel.
That's great.
It's done at one of the major hotels right off the airport in San Jose. And it's been going on for a very long time. If you like to camp, there are a number of large camping events throughout the country. Pagan Spirit Gathering, Heartland, Pagan Unity Festival, like I just said, Florida Pagan Gathering. It depends on where you're going. There's a actual Facebook on for pagan vendors, and if you go to the Facebook group for pagan vendors, they have all the listings of all the different gatherings. And there's also a Pagan Pride page. If you Google Pagan Pride, every state has a Pagan Pride, so you can do that.
Ever meet a witch you didn't like?
Oh yeah, I think we've all met people we haven't liked.
Yeah.
But not because of anything particular. I mean, some people are just loud, some people are not, and some people you just enjoy being around, and some people not so much. It's like anything else. I don't think anybody can go to church and like everybody in the congregation. You know, some people you'd rather associate with, and some people you wouldn't. Or a synagogue or a mosque or whatever religion you practice, it's all the same. I become annoyed with people that claim to be witches without any formal training or think that they've watched Harry Potter one too many times and want to go off and do some, you know, some spell or something because mm-hmm. they know how to say it. Or they went to Disney or Universal, and they bought a wand and think they're Tinkerbell or Harry Potter or something.
Can you be a naturally born witch?
Oh yeah, we're all witches. Anybody that's ever successfully made anything in the kitchen or grown anything, anyone who's ever fathered or mothered a child, has practiced some form of magic.
That is magic.
You know, so. We all have that capability. Diane West in Practical Magic, when at one of the very end scenes, when one of the women is talking about her child got hurt and she felt her across town, she says there's a little witch in all of us, and there is. But by the time we get to be adolescents, the powers that be have beaten it out of us, either verbally or physically. And convinced us that things like that don't happen while turning around and telling us that angels exist and prayer works, but you can't do a spell or light a candle for the same thing. So it's all semantics and who's in power.
Have you ever gotten to a point where you wanted to cast a negative spell on someone because they were just so bad that you had to do something?
Well, I think we've all gotten to that point, and it goes back to what do you do? And many of us have, as I said earlier, allowed the negativity to go back on the individual. But there would be a lot fewer successful evil people if more witches chose the dark side, to use George Lucas's term.
True.
But we don't. We take the higher ground, which for some of us is very difficult, and some are a lot easier. I'm Norse. My first reaction is revenge. So it's very hard for me to have somebody say something bad or do something bad to me and know that that person's going to suffer somewhere down the line. I just have to wait for it. When I just, you know, I'd like to do something immediately. I'm also a combat veteran. I'm an artillery captain, I still am, but I did 12 years active.
Well, thank you for serving.
So, you're welcome. So, you know, my first reaction is just level the village. But that's not done in polite society, and it's certainly not done in our traditions or our craft. So I bite my lip and I drive on.
Jason, now in Roswell, New Mexico. Welcome to the program, Jason. Thanks for holding.
No problem. Happy to hold. Hi. Got a question for Gypsy. I was driving down long, dark road out of Roswell, New Mexico. Lightning started coming down around me, flipping through the channels, found you guys. I'm actually preparing to make my first one. And I wanted to know what Gypsy's thoughts were about the wood I chose.
Okay. What'd you choose?
Driftwood.
Driftwood?
What?
Driftwood.
Oh, driftwood. Driftwood is a really fun wood because it's good for travel. It's good for internal healing. It's also very good to do generational work because that wood has done so much in its life that it's willing to take you with it. So it's a fun wood. I don't have a driftwood wand in my collection. I make one wand. The first wand I make of every wood I keep. But I'm looking forward when I get back home to New England to possibly find a piece of driftwood. And I wish you a lot of luck. Let the wand talk to you, which it obviously has. But enjoy it and let me know how it works out.
And they can reach you through your website, Gypsy, I take it, right?
They can reach me through my website, gypsyteague.com. They can reach me through just my regular email at gypseys@gmail.com. Or they can just Google me, and I'm all over the internet. But the website's a good way to get across to me. Before we take another call, I want to do a couple of minutes, because my publisher says I'm supposed to do this. The book is not just about wands. I mean, it is about wands. But other things in the book are, I have a chapter on the woods used by J.K. Rowling. So for the Harry Potter people that want to know why a certain wand did or didn't choose Harry or some of the others, which wand had Ron and Hermione, I talk about that. But more importantly, each wood I look at both as a landscape architect, a construction science person, and as a witch. So there is taxonomy. There are the elements. Is this a wood wand versus a fire wand versus an earth wand? What energies? Is it masculine, feminine? What gods and goddesses are appropriate to that wand? What are the uses? And then I talk about what is the wood? How hard is it? What are the myths and legends? And what can you use it for? And in the back of the book, there are about 40 pages of appendices. So there, that's what I needed to say. So
that's your pitch, huh? We were going to let you do that anyway.
I know, but I just, you know.
Let's go to New York now. Frank's with us. Hi, Frank. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Hi, Gypsy Eileen. I have a comment and a question, too. In New York, they're going to be having a witch fest later on today and Saturday. I think it's like near one of the parks. I'm not sure which one it is. Anyhow, my question is, I kind of had like two questions, but one of the questions is like, if a magician is advanced enough, Eileen, do you think that they wouldn't need a wand, that their advanced state are able to produce the same effects without the wand?
You don't need a wand. As I don't know if you caught the beginning when we started talking about this, but a wand is just a tool. Some people feel more confident with a wand. Some people just like the feel of a wand. A number of witches that I know use an athame, which is a black-handled knife. And so, in effect, it's a metal wand. Some people use their finger. It's all about what are you comfortable with and what kind of tool do you want to work with. But the energy comes from you. If you can direct it with your index finger or just a chopstick or a drumstick, then that's great. Go for it.
In terms of the wands, you don't paint them at all, but do you put a special point at the end of it or just keep it as the wood?
No, they actually look like drumsticks. Some of them. Some of them have smaller ends at both ends. Some of them look like very ornate candles. Some of them look just like pieces of wood. Again, it depends on what the wood tells me. There is usually a base end and then a head of the wand, so that because both ends have different uses, and I don't want to miss the second question from our caller, but something like peach, if you point the pointy end or the smaller end or the head of the wand and use that end, then you're doing love and romantic things. But if you flip it over and you cast with the base, then you're doing exorcism of baggage around you.
Huh.
So each end can have different uses.
Do you teach people how to use the wands?
No, I teach people what the wands will do.
What they'll do, okay.
Yeah. There's an amazing friend of mine, Amber Kay, who lives out in the Midwest, and she has a new book coming out that actually talks about how to use the wands. We've been talking back and forth. I don't get into her stuff because she's a lot better at using them than I am.
Yeah.
I speak to the wood, or the wood speaks to me, and the metals. So I make them, and I allow them to find their users.
Let's go to Towson, Maryland now. Gunther's with us. He's east of the Rockies.
Didn't we have a second question?
Good morning, Mr. Joe Norrie.
Okay. Hold on for one sec. Did you want to get that last one?
Gypsy? We had the gentleman from New York had two questions, and we only answered one.
Yeah, he's not there anymore. So
let's go to Gunther. But email me your second question, sir. Okay.
Let's go to Gunther in Towson, Maryland. Hey, Gunther, go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. I like your shows. You have so many good guests.
Thank you, sir.
Before I get into witchcraft, about your ghost stories, did you ever hear of an ancient belief going back to the Druids, what you do or what you not do when a person dies and you take them out to the graveyard?
What happens? What do you do?
Well, if you take him out head first, then he's going to come back and haunt the house. That's why we have so many ghosts.
Huh. Interesting. Okay, go ahead with your question.
My question is for the guest later, and I have a story of myself about witches. Whether she ever heard of a place in Germany where all the European witches come together once a year and at night, and nobody's supposed to go there because he's going to get in trouble.
What area of Germany is it?
It's a plateau in the Harz Mountain.
Harz Mountain. I don't know. Gypsy, you familiar with that?
I'm not familiar with it. I find it interesting it's the Harz Mountain because that's probably one of the most beautiful sections in Germany.
They still come on their broomstead. They're not modernized yet.
I've actually been to the Harz Mountain when I was stationed in Germany.
Okay.
I heard
my
that.
Own
I let it go.
My
I,
own story
I let it go.
When,
but no, I had not heard about that.
All right. And what's your story, Gunther?
65 years ago, I was shot by a witch.
You were shot by a witch? With what?
Yes, sir, with a
rifle, a pistol?
In the back. I don't know what it was, and I didn't know what it was, so I went to the doctor. I could hardly move or straighten out. And so he said, of course, in German, he said, Hexenschuss, which means you've been shot by a witch. And I've been yet to try to see her, because every time she must have followed me here to America, because once a year, If I don't watch myself, I get the same thing, and I try to look around, but of course I can't straighten out right away.
Huh.
I have never seen her.
This sounds like some kind of spell was cast against him, Gypsy.
The first thing I would say is cast using either ebony or black walnut around your house, and put up a defensive spell. But you could also, and in the book it talks about what's called hearth wands, and a hearth wand protects the house and home, where you can either get, and it's usually either bay or cedar, but you use bay or cedar. Put it in the center of your house, pointing toward the door you use the most, and that will then keep negative energies out of your house. There are a number of things that you can do if this persists, and you can laugh at this, but I would find your local occult supply store and get some protection oil, or talk to the owners there about some kind of amulet.
Almost out of time here, Gypsy, and I'd like you to get your website out for us, and again, where people can get your book, The Witch's Guide to Wands. Go ahead.
The website is www.gypsesteague.com, gypsesteague.com. You can get The Witch's Guide to Wand and Steampunk Magic, the other book I wrote, at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Borders, any local bookstore. Patronize your occult supply stores. If you're in the Southeast, watch for any book signings that I may be doing or wand workshops. But the easiest way to get the book is just through Amazon. You can download it either paper or Kindle. If you ever run into me, I will gladly sign it.
Perfect.
So you don't have to buy it from me. It makes my publisher happy if you buy it from Amazon, because the numbers are easier to track.
They sure are. What's your next step? What's new for you? What's new for your next? What's your next project?
I just put out my 25th book.
Wow.
I write fiction. So I'm cleaning up a couple of pieces right now. But I write both horror and mystery and science fiction.
Good for you. You are a very, very busy witch, I'll tell you that. Hey, I'm coming back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. A couple hours of open lines. We'll be back.